Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 107 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh, and what we do here is learn how to live a sober and fun alcohol-free life. The whole point of giving up drinking is to live better and be happier. And I will certainly give you all the insights I have after many years of sobriety, as well as all my mistakes and life lessons, drama and trauma, and everything else I have. It's an open book around here. Over the next several weeks, we are going to double down on your recovery with double episodes. Yes, you guys, I'm so excited about this. You will get the regular episode on Wednesdays, or if you're an Inner Circle member, you get episode access on Tuesdays. So you'll get that regular episode. And then we're going to do a bonus episode every Friday. I'm going to have worksheets and cheat sheets and workbooks and guides just to double down on your recovery and double down on the support you get from me. So let's double down. And today we're going to talk about something that's a bit cliche, and we're going to break it down and get a little deeper into the concept and how to practice it on a daily basis. You hear it all the time, especially for those of us that are 12-steppers. It's all over the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. One day at a time. I remember in the beginning of my recovery, I didn't really understand a lot of the cliches in the rooms. There are all of these weird one-liners that people repeat, and if I'm honest, I didn't know what any of them meant. Like, that's just the truth. I would just kind of smile and nod because I had no idea what these people were talking about. But I totally get it now. And I understand that the one-liners are just a shorthand version of the long versions, right? These are just one-liners that we can throw out and we understand the bigger meaning behind them. We're going to talk about one day at a time and what it means, how it can be helpful, and how to break it down even smaller in those moments of crisis. But first, before we take that deep dive, let's talk about a few things going on around here in the crazy busy week I've had doing some major collaborations with other recovery rock stars. First off, I got to be on the Recovery Happy Hour podcast with Trisha Lewis, and I owe you guys a huge apology because I totally forgot to tell you about it. This is what happens when you get busy with so many projects. She had emailed me to let me know my episode was going live, and I totally forgot to share it with you. It's 100% my bad. And I hope you got to check it out because it was a lot of fun. And Trisha is absolutely delightful. I'm so grateful I got to meet her. And she is coming on Addiction Unlimited also. By the time you're hearing this episode, we have probably already recorded her on Addiction Unlimited, and it will be going live soon. And I will keep you posted on that. Also, another total recovery powerhouse, Jen Elizabeth, author of Shape of a Woman. Jen was on Addiction Unlimited with me a couple of weeks ago, and we shared a phenomenal conversation. She is a stunning person inside and out. And Jen does something really cool called Fierce Female Friday. This is on her Instagram, which is at Resurrection of Me, and I will link that in the show notes. And last week, she featured me. She asked me to write a piece of my story for her, and I did that. I love to write, for those of you who don't know. I actually started many years ago with an anonymous blog. Like, I didn't have my name on it. I wrote pretty regularly, and it was very popular in the addiction world way back in the day before, like, everybody and their dog had a blog and a podcast. So it was a long, long time ago, and my blog was super popular, and I loved to write, but I wrote a short story, and she condensed it down to fit Instagram size, which is just a few paragraphs, and I was her featured Fierce Female Friday last week. And what an honor, you guys. These women are badasses, and for all of us to collab is pretty amazing. I am definitely going to do some more collaborations too. Some Instagram live videos and some exclusive video segments only for my Inner Circle membership members. You guys will get some extra content with all of these incredible souls I get to talk to. So I took the full story that I wrote for Jen for Fierce Female Friday, and I posted the full version in the Inner Circle. So if you are a member, you can read the whole thing there. And it's not very long. I don't mean to make it sound like it's a book or something. It's pretty short, and you can find it in your member portal. All right, that is my crazy busy life. So many phenomenal things going on. This has been a really exciting time for me. And let's take a minute too, and let me embarrass myself for a minute, okay? You know, I like to share my struggles as much as my triumphs because I never want to paint a picture for you that because I've been sober 150 years, like I've got it all together, right? I want you to see the truth, you guys. None of this is perfect. And all those hangups that we get, all those fears, fear of failure, fear of judgment, whatever, when you think about those things that you're putting off starting, whether it's a business or your sobriety, or maybe it's making a real commitment to your sobriety, and you're putting it off because you have all these fears going on, right? And you're fearful of what other people are going to think of you, and you're fearful you're not going to be able to do it, and blah, blah, blah. The truth is, you just have to do it. You can piece it together as you go. You can connect the dots as you go, but you just have to start. And I want you to know the reality of the situation and that our work on ourselves is an ongoing process. That's why I talk about my food struggles and laziness and financial irresponsibility, because these are all things that I've had to work on well into my sobriety. Like, there's no end point and there's no such thing as perfection. The key to all of this is that we never stop trying. It's okay to make mistakes as long as I clean up my mistakes and I learn from them. So, here's my little public humiliation for the week, okay? You know, I started the membership site, the Inner Circle. I started it in April, and the Inner Circle is amazing. There's a ton of great content in there. It's only $25 a month. It's like the absolute cheapest investment you can make in your recovery. And there's just a ridiculous amount of great stuff in there. And we do 2 online meetings a week. There's a private chat for members. We do 12-step insights and video segments and bonus content and all of that kind of stuff. It's incredible, $25 a month. So I started it in April. Just like anything else, there's a learning curve, right? You get going, you get some feedback, you make some tweaks, and it just continues to get better. Now that I'm almost 2 months into it, it's getting really good. And I'm sharing content that is thought-provoking and helpful and supportive. I'm sharing what I call quick fixes. And those are just really cool, like memes or infographics that can change your perspective by simply reading a sentence or two, right? They're quick fixes. Get your head in a good spot, change your mood, quick fixes. We have like I said, special insight segments on the 12 steps. And since May is the fifth month, this month we talked about the fifth step and just all kinds of good stuff. As we were going through week three, I came across something on Pinterest that I really wanted to share with Inner Circle members. It took my mindset from a crappy place to a good reminder of perspective and not getting too caught up in negativity. And it inspired me to write a little piece about that. So I go into the membership site and I post this thing. And I was wondering why there weren't a lot of comments on different things in the site, because usually you guys write comments and I write back to you and we have some pretty cool conversations around the things I post in the membership site. But I was getting nothing. Honestly, I was getting nervous. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, do they not like anything I'm posting? Am I doing a terrible job? Do I need to do more? Maybe they don't like me anymore. Like in my head, of course, the committee starts going crazy with all this nonsense, right? So like a good alcoholic, I start freaking out and immediately blowing everything out of proportion. And that's when I realized I had been posting all this content that I was so excited about, but I never hit the publish button on the week three category. So all the content that was in week three was still private where only I could see it. Oh my God, you guys, seriously, I felt so ridiculous and embarrassed. And it's so frustrating and irritating. Like I was so mad at myself. And I was even mad at the technology. Like I'll be honest, I was even mad at the damn website. So, and I know it's not its fault. I just forgot to hit one button, but I was so freaking frustrated. And of course, I sent out an email to all of the members and I apologized and I owned it. I told them exactly what I did, exactly what happened, just like I'm telling you now. And then I told them all the stuff that was available for them now that I fixed it. And then I drowned my feelings in ice cream. Of course. And that's the reality of life. You guys, no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you want everything to be perfect, sometimes you're going to forget to hit the publish button and cause a mess. And here's the truth. A few years ago, I would have let that little incident completely take me down. I would have blown it so far out of proportion. I would have beat myself up about it, obsessed over how embarrassed I felt. I would have told myself that everyone's going to be mad at me for not getting their content out, and they're all going to want to leave the membership because of it. I failed them. I'm not good enough. All those crazy messages the committee likes to feed us. And it really would have taken me down, like to a point. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, if I was in the midst of all that, I may have actually quit, right? And just like stopped the membership altogether. It would have messed with me that much. Instead, I practiced what we're going to talk about today, right? One day at a time. And I didn't get consumed in the 4 days that the content wasn't available. I didn't let that guilt and fear ruin my whole day or week. I got myself back in the moment, realized there was nothing I can do about those 4 days, but what I can do is get it handled and let my members know what happened and apologize, right? It's okay to make the mess. You just have to go back and clean it up. Lesson learned. And I promise you that will never happen again. But seriously, I would have blown it so far out of proportion. And just taking the minute like to pause and go from blowing it out of proportion to getting it right sized and realizing like, Angela, seriously, dude, it was 4 days. Like this is not the end of the world. It was 4 freaking days. And then I thought about how many of those members probably hadn't even been on the site in those 4 days. Like how many people were completely unaware that I even had this issue, right? Because they hadn't even logged on for 4 days. But I had to pause and get it right sized. I had to get my head right. And If I step back and I look at it logically, I'm super grateful that this happened in the first 6 weeks of my membership, right? So I did get to learn that valuable lesson. And I'm even more grateful it was only 4 days, right? Imagine if I would have done that on a whole month. Like, that's ridiculous. But I have to stay in today and figure out what I can do today, not stress about how I don't have a time machine to go back and change something 4 days ago, but what can I do today to get me closer to my vision or my goal? And what I could do that day was just tell everyone what was going on and let them know it was my mistake, period. So that's what I did. One of the greatest struggles in sobriety is getting stuck in the past or getting wrapped up in the future, right? Future tripping. What's going to happen? What might happen? What should I do about what might happen? Will I be okay? Will I turn into a pumpkin? Yada, yada, yada. What we forget is the only thing you have any control over is today, the very next moment. You hear all the time in AA people telling these really funny stories about getting caught up in the future. I remember a lady when I was really new, like literally I was in my first year for sure, maybe even my first 6 months. And she and her husband are both doctors. And she was talking about how that morning she was looking at her son and thinking about how hard medical school is going to be for him. She was thinking about the long hours and studying and sleep deprivation. And she said, then I had to remind myself, he's 5. It's such a great reminder. He's 5. But man, we love to get caught up in that future. Or you hear people say one of their objections to giving up alcohol is they can't imagine having their wedding without booze. But today, in this moment, they're not even dating anyone, right? Already thinking about the wedding and what that might look like alcohol-free and deciding they can't handle it and they don't even have a boyfriend or girlfriend. I hear that one a lot, actually. Or me. One of my biggest hangups was that I couldn't imagine New Year's Eve without alcohol. Now, in my defense, I was a bartender, and New Year's Eve was a pretty epic event in my annual plans. But I was so caught up in that thought, like, how would I ever get through a New Year's Eve without drinking? The truth is, I've never had a single New Year's Eve yet where I wanted to drink. And I was a sober bartender on New Year's Eve for many years too. It didn't even bother me. And now that I'm old, I'm not even awake for New Year's Eve. So it seems really pointless to have worried about all of that now at this stage, right? Now I spend New Year's Eve worried about all of you getting through that time and staying sober and sending prayers out to all of you and all the guys at my sober living houses. I spend my evening trying to mentally save all of you and keep you safe and sending you powerful strength vibes to get through those nights. And that probably sounds a bit ridiculous, but it's true. That's what I do know. So I want to break this down even further. Also, in a way that saved me when I was brand new sober. Because when I was brand new, I couldn't manage one day at a time. I was doing 10 minutes at a time. We talk about habits and the power of habits and rituals. When I got sober, I was still bartending. And on a typical night at work, I would start drinking around 8 p.m. And at the end of my bar, there was a cooler where all the kegs were and all the different bottles of liquor that needed to be kept cold, right? Of course, you put all that stuff in the cooler. And me, like a good alcoholic, I had a stash of paper cups in the cooler so I could sneak in there and pour myself nice cold shots. And my brain was accustomed to having its first drink around 8. And just because I wasn't drinking anymore didn't mean my brain wasn't thinking about it anymore. It was a ritual I had built over the course of years, so it wasn't going to go away just because I quit. This is when I learned to take a craving or a thought or a difficult moment and take it 10 minutes at a time. As the 8 o'clock hour would approach each night when I was at work, the committee would start chirping away at me, talking about having a drink. It would be reminding me of my little stash of paper cups in the cooler and how easy it is to walk in there and how quick it is and nobody even knows. My brain had its own ritual, right? And I was standing in its way. So I would find things to do for 10 minutes at a time to distract the committee. This is what I talk to you guys about all the time, the importance of distracting the committee when it's being a jerk. What I see happen is we fall apart in the discomfort. When the committee is yelling at you about some crazy anxiety or fear or chirping at you with a craving, whatever the discomfort is, you panic. And panic brings fight, flight, or freeze. In these moments, I need you to fight. I need you to fight the committee. Tell it to F off. Tell it you're in charge now and you're making different decisions. Or even flight. Leave. Go do something. Go somewhere. But for God's sake, please don't freeze. When you freeze in panic and discomfort, you put yourself in a position that you're spending quiet time with the irritated committee. The committee can be a real jerk. I don't want you to isolate and freeze and put yourself in a position where you can hear it better. I want you to get busy, move around, do something to distract it, and give it something else to talk about, 10 minutes at a time. When the committee is chirping about anything, find something to do 10 minutes at a time. For me, when I was at the bar, I would go wash dishes or clean out a cabinet. I would start a conversation with a guest at the bar or one of the cocktail servers, or I would play around mixing juices and sodas to find new mixtures I liked. Anything I could do, 10 minutes at a time. Then I would check back in with my craving and see how it was. And my cravings weren't cravings like I really wanted to drink, because I didn't. It was just the craving of the ritual. We create habits and rituals because there's a sense of safety in knowing what's to come. Like, I have breakfast with my father every Saturday morning. I do online recovery meetings for our Inner Circle membership members. I do Facebook Live videos on certain days. My podcast comes out every Wednesday. Well, Tuesday for the Inner Circle members, but Wednesday for the rest of you. We know we have a tendency to future trip. So when we have rituals in place, it takes away that sense of unknown and replaces it with a sense of safety and knowing and certainty. This is why I say to you guys, too, to plan ahead if you know you're going to an event. We talk about this in the Stay Sober for the Holidays and Social Situations episode. I have that whole worksheet for you about staying sober, your plan. And if you can have that planned in advance, then you don't panic when you're in the moment because you already have tools in your toolbox. You don't have to panic because you have a sense of safety and certainty because you already know how to respond to an uncomfortable moment because you planned. Here's what I want you to do. When something comes up, whether it's a craving or an anxiety or fear, when you feel it, I want you to take a second and rate it 1 to 10. 1 being the most manageable and 10 being unbearable. Take a second and sit with it. Ask yourself, how bad is this really? Is it a moment that will pass quickly? Is there a fast solution? Is it something you can take a few deep belly breaths and get through it? And then give it a score, 1 to 10. How bad is it really? 1 to 10. Then I want you to find something to do for 10 minutes. Whatever it is, I don't care. If you're home, I'm sure you have 100 closets and cabinets and drawers that could use some organizing and cleaning out, or some laundry to start, or laundry to fold, or something you could do outside, or wash your car, take a walk, take a shower, walk the dog, walk the kids, make some sugar-free Jell-O, sit down somewhere quiet and do some meditation, research something you're curious about on Google and YouTube, go to the gym and sit in the sauna, go online and write a review for Addiction Unlimited. There you go. Give us a review. Or go in our Facebook group and write a message to support our group members and help them have a nicer day. Anything you can think of to distract yourself and distract the committee for just 10 minutes. Then I want you to pause again and rate it again. Same scale, 1 to 10. If it's still too high, then find something else to do for another 10 minutes. Then check in with yourself again. And I want you to really think about this too when you're doing this check-in. Like I said, take a second and sit with it. Ask yourself, how bad is this really? Is it a moment that I can really get through? Is it something that will pass on its own? Is there a fast solution? Is there a fast action I can take to get through it quickly? Are you just getting worked up and you need to bring yourself back down? That's why I said, if it's some anxiety and you just get yourself worked up, you can take a few deep belly breaths and you can calm that. From a physiological standpoint, this is just science, you guys. This is not anything super woo-woo or crazy. It's just freaking science. Deep belly breaths change you on a physiological level. So do it. Don't argue with it. Don't think it's weird. Just do it. If you want help, help yourself. So really check in and think, how bad is it? And then give it a rating, okay? Do something for 10 minutes. Come back. Check in with yourself again. Rate it again. You know, my favorite thing to do always is to figure out how to be of service to someone else. A great way to get your head in a good space and take away the power of any negativity is to reach out to someone else and ask them how they're doing. Think of someone you haven't talked to in a while or someone who's going through a difficult time and reach out to them. Ask how they're doing. Tell them you are thinking about them. Ask if there's anything you can do for them. And don't say a single word about yourself. If they ask how you are, say, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I'm making some changes or I'm going through some things. I'd love to catch up about that another time. But today, I was just thinking about you and I wanted to check in and see how you are and see if I could do anything for you. See if someone in your family needs help with something. Maybe your AA group room needs a good cleaning or vacuum. See if there's something you can do to help a neighbor. Make a nice surprise breakfast for your family, or out of the blue, take your kids to the park or somewhere they love but haven't been in a while. Make your partner a cup of coffee in the morning and bring it to them in bed. Go on Facebook or Instagram and write 10 nice comments on other people's posts. There are millions of ways to be of service to the world around you. The very moment some negativity or anxiety starts to creep in, go straight to service. Don't get caught up with the committee obsessing about whatever you're obsessing about. Instead, shift your thoughts, shift your actions, distract yourself and distract the committee. 10 minutes at a time if necessary. You've heard me say this over and over, and I will continue saying it. If you isolate yourself and you don't find connections with other people, then the committee and your addiction have you in exactly the position they need you to be in, isolated and alone. Every predator works best when you are isolated and alone. Your very first goal should be to ensure you are not those things. And if you are uncomfortable or shy or whatever you want to call it, then start small. get in the Facebook group and just read through the comments and click the like button on some of them. That doesn't challenge you at all. You're participating, you're distracting the committee, and you're being connected. You don't have to go in there and write a freaking diary entry to be involved. Some of us write long posts and we love that. It doesn't mean you have to do that. You can start by just liking some posts. Then when something really resonates with you, you can write a short comment like, "Thanks for sharing this. I really needed this today. Great reminder." Small things just to get some practice and be connected. But if you want to stay alone, not connecting, not getting support, not sharing yourself and helping others, then your addiction will win every single time. You can join many groups. You can join the Inner Circle membership. You can get in the private chat with me and all of our other amazing members. There are so many options to be connected without having to go anywhere. Ultimately, you have to make the decision whether or not you are willing to push yourself through some of that discomfort to get closer to your big picture goal of sobriety and an incredible fun life, or if you're going to sit in your discomfort and wallow. A great thing you can do 10 minutes at a time is jump on YouTube and search for videos about positive thoughts. It's a great way to shift your mindset instantly, get you out of your own drama, and it's a quick and easy tool that you can use forever. Of course, I have the attention span of a gnat, so I love to find videos that are only 5 or 6 minutes long. And you guys know I will always give you the sober hack, right? So you can find, you don't need to sit down and look at videos that are 30 minutes. Like, don't blow this out of proportion. I hear you guys so often just making excuses. Like, just chill out. Just do something. Stop spending so much time thinking of all the reasons it won't work for you, or you can't do it, or you're shy, or you have anxiety, or you're so uncomfortable, or you're so insecure. Well, welcome to the freaking club. What do you think the rest of us are? We're all of those things. But at some point, you have to get over yourself and you have to take action. So for me, I got to make that small, right? Because I have the attention span of a gnat. And if I want to actually follow through on something, I have to break it down in little tiny pieces. So I find videos that are 5 or 6 minutes long. The key is, it doesn't matter how long or short the video is. What matters is that you are committed enough to yourself and your sobriety to take the time to actually sit down and do something positive and healthy for yourself. That's the part that matters. It doesn't matter if it's 2 minutes or 5 hours. It's that you are committed to actually doing it. I'll even take this a step further. I made a cheat sheet. A daily routine you can print and use to keep you on track with your recovery actions, right? There are 6 time slots and 6 action suggestions, and they are laid out like a checklist. So in the morning, you pick which activity you want to do from the action list, and when you do it, you check that action off and you check off the morning slot. Then there's a mid-morning, a lunch, a mid-afternoon, dinner, whatever, so on. Every couple hours throughout your day, you pick one of the actions and do it, then mark off that time slot and mark off that action. And there's some other great things on there to track to help keep you in a healthy routine and consistently working toward your big picture sober vision too. This is what we do to build lasting sobriety. You create a routine of healthy actions. You get intentional about how you spend your time and the things that you do. And you get intentional about molding your thoughts and the committee to be healthy and strong. And that's how you live. When you create a solid routine that nourishes your little sober soul on a daily basis, you don't have to live in fear of relapse. Relapse doesn't happen to you. Vodka does not chase you down the street and pry your mouth open and jump in there, okay? You say, I hope I don't relapse, like it's totally out of your control. Well, you're wrong. It's completely in your control. You decide not to relapse. Then you create a plan and you practice it regularly to become really good at it. You make a commitment to practice it, even when you screw it up, you keep doing it. That's how you don't relapse. And if you do relapse, then your plan wasn't working. And you have to look at the things you were doing and figure out what to change or what to do differently. You'll probably have to add some things and maybe even remove some things. When I'm really focused on keeping my thoughts strong and powerful, I have certain rituals that I practice every day to make sure I'm feeding a strong and powerful mindset. At some point, I catch some negative thoughts coming in, either about myself or being negative about my business or being short and irritable with my friends or employees. When I see that stuff happening, I have to reevaluate my efforts. Have I really been doing my rituals each day, or have I been slacking off? Usually I find there is something that I've started slacking on. It might be that I've been isolating too much and not being connected to my tribe, right? If that's the case, then I will immediately reach out to a few people in my tribe and connect and make plans to meet for coffee or have a Zoom coffee date, whatever that looks like. Sometimes I get lazy with my meditation or visualization. This is probably one of my greatest struggles because the committee always wants to tell me that I'm super busy and I have other things to do first that are more important and I'll do that later. But when later comes, I'm exhausted, so I'll blow it off. If I'm blowing it off, then I need to get my act together and get back on it because I know that's something that keeps me healthy. It's not about wanting to do it or not wanting to do it. I do what is healthy for me. I don't beat myself up if I've fallen off a bit. I recognize the lesson in it. I can't listen to the committee, or that I need to get up a little earlier to make sure I have time, or I need to put it in my calendar so I know I'm making the time, because it's important to my daily living and not having debilitating anxiety and an overwhelming desire to drink and escape my life. It's important that I do the things that I know keep me healthy. So if you have a plan and you are doing it and you relapse, you have to look at your plan and reevaluate and make some adjustments. This is the same thing, 10 minutes at a time. I tell you, you can change your life in 10 to 15 minutes a day because it's true. 98% of my YouTube videos that I watch are under 10 minutes. 98% of the meditations or guided visualizations I do are under 10 minutes. Connecting with my tribe, 10 minutes. Being of service in random and thoughtful ways, 10 minutes or less. You see what I'm saying? None of this is a huge time-consuming commitment that is unreasonable. And if it feels unreasonable, then you have some other issues that we need to figure out to get you started. So let's recap this. If you are in some discomfort, anxiety, or a craving, I want you to stop for a second, check in with yourself, see how big of a deal it really is, and rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. And try to put a name on the feeling if you can. Are you bored, irritable, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, right? We talk about that. Halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Are you sad? Did you get your feelings hurt? Are you feeling like someone doesn't like you? Are you feeling left out? Are you stressing about money or having some fear about your marriage or your kids? Are you obsessing about some resentment? Try to identify exactly what's going on. Think about how bad it really is. Is the world actually ending, or is this solvable? And give it a rating 1 to 10. After you've named it and rated it, then find something to do for 10 minutes. Write in your journal, listen to a podcast or audiobook, go through the list of a million things I mentioned earlier for 10 minutes. If you have a sponsor, call them. After 10 minutes, take another second to pause, check in with yourself. How does it feel now? Is the feeling getting a little less? Does it feel more solvable? And rate it again. Hopefully the number is going down. Then go do something else for 10 minutes. Be of service to someone else if you can. Get lost in a movie or a book, whatever it takes. Check in again and rate it. You get it. Keep going for however long you need to. Each time you get through a difficult moment or a craving or anxiety, each time you get through one of those moments, the next one will be less powerful. This goes for everything. If you're having a cigarette or a drink craving, if you power through it and show it you're the boss, then the next craving will automatically be smaller. If you have major anxiety and feel panicky, you step out, find a private space, you do deep belly breaths, and I mean deep breathe all the way down to your belly button. I want you to feel your belly and your lungs expand, and I want you to do that many, many times. And I want you to visualize as you take that deep breath in, I want you to see it as a bright light going in and traveling all the way down to your belly button and feel your belly expand and see that light expand inside of you and see it shooting out to every piece of your body and pushing out all the darkness. Pushing out any negative feelings you might be having, negative thoughts. See that light come into your body with your deep belly breath and see it pushing out all that negativity. Then see yourself getting through that moment. See yourself getting through the situation that you're in and see yourself being okay. It will be okay. And when you get through that moment, although it may be uncomfortable, you show yourself that you are capable and able, and you begin to trust yourself again, and you know that the next anxious moment will be smaller. And if you want the daily routine cheat sheet, you can get it at www.myrecoverytoolbox.com/107. Because this is episode 107. Again, it's www.myrecoverytoolbox.com/107. And you can sign up and get the cheat sheet, print one for each day, and get yourself some structure and a strategy and get some relief. And for those of you that are Inner Circle members, you've had this daily routine cheat sheet for a while, so you can find that in your member portal. But for the rest of you, www.myrecoverytoolbox.com/107. Okay, I love you guys. I'll see all of you members in the Inner Circle for some extra special content this week and in the private chat for members only. I will link that in the show notes if you want to join us. It's pretty awesome, all the tools and community and support we've built in such a short time. It's so good. And also, don't forget, we're doubling down on recovery, and I want you to double down on your efforts and double down on your recovery with these double episodes for the next several weeks. Watch out on Friday for your double down bonus episode. I hope you're having a fantastic day, and I'll see you on Friday.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.